Todd's mom is in a new season. It's kind of the heavenly home season, we'll call it. That's where she's headed. And it's been a journey for us because that's not what we expected when we came to visit. It all happened so quickly.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
You know, sometimes, Todd, there are things that you just can't prepare for. I mean, you kind of can, but you can't really understand it until you're in it.
Oh, how well I know that to be true.
Yes, we both do. Welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner.
And we're delighted to be here with you. Thanks for spending this precious time with us.
Yes, every once in a while on Your Biggest Breakthrough, because it is about breakthroughs, Wendy and I just like to take some time, just the two of us, no outside guests, although we love our guests.
Yeah.
But we've just encountered an experience recently that we wanted to share with you because of the way that we went through it. And maybe there are some things that you can identify with as we kind of unfold our experience from the last few weeks.
Yeah. So Todd's mom is in a new season. It's kind of the heavenly home season, we'll call it. That's where she's headed. And it's been a journey for us because that's not what we expected when we came to visit. It all happened so quickly.
It did. So yeah, she's in her final season. I've just got to say, my dad has been gone for 9 years and mom always called herself the weeping widow because she missed dad so badly.
Yeah.
And we all did. But she's handled it really remarkably well. In fact, my mom is a champion when it comes to her attitude of gratitude. She just doesn't know how to do anything except give thanks in all things. It's just like living proof that you can live that out if you've got the right attitude.
No, that actually reminds me. So we're going to go through this whole little process with you, what we've been dealing with for a little bit here, but speaking of her having gratitude, when we were in a facility where Carol was for a little while, there was a 23-year-old girl, her name's Lily, and she said, I just love this generation.
Yes.
And she said, because they're always grateful. And so she was talking about Carol, and then Carol's neighbor, who's 103, Charlotte, she says, they're just so grateful. And no matter what we do, they're just like, thank you, thank you. And they just are different. Yeah. Than the other generations.
So true.
And then I asked her, I said, well, what's the generation that you dislike the most? And she said, my generation, not me, but her, the 23-year-old, her own generation. She said, yeah, we expect everything. We're entitled. I said, oh, all right. You're saying it, not me.
That was profound wisdom from that 23-year-old.
Yeah.
And maybe one of the reasons why that older generation is so grateful is because they don't have to mess with all the goofy things.
Well, that's true. But they also went through the depression. Yeah, went through so much. They've seen so much. I was telling your mom, I'm like, oh my goodness, like televisions, airplanes, rockets, just all the things that she has experienced
computers in
your pocket. Yeah, your phone. All this she's experienced in her lifetime. That's amazing.
Well, she is, again, a remarkable example. Us five children have learned a lot, along with spouses and grandkids and great-grandchildren. And we'll get into some of that. But just for the sake of clarity on why we're doing this, is both Wendy and I experienced a breakthrough in this process, going through this for the last 2-3 weeks. And it's simply this. You truly can do what you need to do if, that is, it's His strength working through you.
So true. Now,
I don't want to make that sound too pie in the sky, but I will tell you this. When we got the...
it was a lot.
Yeah. So sorry. So let's just back up a little bit. But for both Wendy and I, this is what we're holding on to because it's been a very stressful, very different couple of weeks. But we kept holding on to this promise that God said, I'll give you my strength. In fact, just after we, so we were out of town for a while, and we had already planned to come back to Minnesota to spend some time with my mom.
And your mom was going to have a simple procedure, surgery. Yeah.
Right.
So that's why we thought we were back and
Yeah.
we'd be back to where we were
Yeah.
in
So
no
we,
time.
yeah, we were looking forward to spending a couple of weeks with her. And,
Yeah.
but the night before we left for her hometown, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I will give you my strength because you're going to need it.
But you didn't know what that
I
meant at
know,
the
I
time.
just, but I mean, and it's not like, he yelled it in my ear, just something that I sensed in my
Speaking of
spirit.
that,
Yeah,
your
word in
earbud
my ear.
dropped out.
So I really thought, okay, God, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a good promise. Not quite sure what you're going to get me into, but I'm going to take you up on that promise. I will depend upon your strength.
Yeah.
So Wendy and I headed off to mom's hometown in Little New Ulm, Minnesota, and just loved on her for the first couple of days. But she was experiencing some pretty intense pain, had been experiencing that pain in her right leg, in her right thigh for a couple of weeks before we
We thought
got
it
there.
was like a sciatic issue.
Yeah. So we took her into the emergency room at the hospital, just want to make sure everything was okay. They did a couple scans. They kept her for a couple hours, did all the blood work, all that good stuff, and said, yeah, can't really find anything. I mean, it does look like there may be some things going on with her spine, but we need to do an MRI to find out more details. So they sent us back home, and that was really tough watching mom in that kind of pain. You got to
For
know,
sure.
my mom's
She's a
pain
tough
threshold,
cookie.
if 10 is the worst pain, I'm screaming at one. Mom doesn't,
Yeah, you are.
mom doesn't flinch at 11. It's like,
Yeah.
and now she does it. But yeah, so that condition went on for a couple of days. We said, we're going back to the hospital. Let's get an MRI, which we did. And following the results of the MRI, we were told that mom's cancer had moved from her breast into her
So
bones.
aggressive bone cancer. But what we had thought early before that, after just a CT scan, was it showed that she had a slipped disc and just some, degenerative stuff that's pretty standard or typical. Not always, but in elderly
Well, she
of
had,
98
80 years of
and
severe
arthritis. Yeah.
lung osteoporosis.
So we were believing that that's kind of what it was, and we're like, okay, cool, we can get this corrected and strengthen her and do some PT and that kind of thing. So when we got this news, it was like a shock,
Well,
really.
yeah, we weren't. I mean,
I mean,
yes
not
and no.
like, you know what I
We
mean.
thought it was possible, but we just honestly we didn't expect that. And
Yeah.
so we, our family is very tight. I've got four siblings, two sisters and two brothers, and they're awesome. And so the five of us gathered together with spouses on the phone for a conference call with the doctor to kind of walk through things. Well, now what? And so we'll keep her here in the hospital for a couple of days, and you guys make arrangements. And that meant what? So there is a. By the way, New Ulm, Minnesota is a cool little town, about 13,000 people, and it's hometown folk who take care of each other and are really, really nice, and
Yeah.
they're honest and they're good. And so there is a nursing home facility really next door to the hospital. So we knew we'd temporarily move her over there, and that's when the fun began.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it fun. Yeah.
It's a tremendous
Here,
challenge.
here's one of the things that I really learned. And again, these are great people. They're doing their best. They're doing what they've been taught to do, all the things. But everybody needs an advocate.
Yes. Yes.
With especially children and elderly, advocate with any kind of pharmaceutical situations or just in general, people need an advocate. So, do you have one? And if you don't, I would say start to seek out an advocate, whether it's a family member or a dear friend that can be a committed person in your life that will go to bat for you, which is what we did for Carol.
Well, and I would encourage you too that it's really important for your spouse to join in with you,
Yeah, oh, of course.
so
Yeah.
that I mean for Wendy, this is her mother-in-law,
I
and
call her my mother in love
yeah, exactly,
because I love
because
her so much.
you're very, very close. But
Yeah.
within our family, it's always kind of the way the spouses have been, whether it's our parents or their parents. We just feel a tight-knit commitment to help one another. And the difference that that makes compared to not having that kind of
And having to
support,
go at it alone.
yeah,
Yeah.
for one of the siblings
Yeah.
to have to handle it all. So if you're within a family situation where, you know, down the road a piece, maybe you're going to be facing some of this stuff. It's important now to build tight relationships and start talking about how we're going to advocate on behalf of our loved ones who are going to need our help.
But if it is a severely broken family and you don't see that that could be mended right now in the midst of what you're going through, definitely have that person on the side. Have a plan B. Have your backup advocate support system because, man, you're going to need it.
Yeah. And you're going to need to believe the promise that God gives.
Yeah.
He does promise his strength for us.
It's amazing.
I can do all things
through Christ
who strengthens me. So when God gave me that word, I'm thinking, okay. And I mean, I have to be honest, because we were just ramming and jamming with so many details and there's so much stress involved in those kinds of things.
You're keeping all the siblings informed and you know, the doctors, and then you're bringing in hospice and health aides. And that's how, that was like what we did recently.
So many different interactions with different people with different expectations. And then you're not sleeping well. You're certainly not eating well.
No.
And all the while, I truly did feel really amazingly strong.
Yeah.
I can't take credit for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, God just gave me his strength. I'm going to encourage you, no matter what it is you're going through right now or may go through just down the road.
He will give you the strength.
If you believe that he will.
And if you surrender your control.
Oh, man, that was a tough one for me.
Because sometimes we want to control everything and have it our way.
Always do.
Oh, yes, okay.
Always. And God takes it away from me, and then he shows me how much better he is in control.
We have to let go. And here's the interesting thing, too. Going back to this facility in New Ulm, and again, wonderful people. We'll not talk bad about them, but they aren't used to seeing family members there visiting like all the time. Like we were there for 7 days straight, basically, for breakfast, lunch, dinner, in between. And these people were like, why are these people in this room? In fact, one of the ladies was like, I was trying to get in there and clean. And there they were just sitting there every time I was there visiting with her. And I'm like, yep, that's right. We were. And so I felt really, I felt like a whole other level of compassion actually for those that are in that facility that aren't being visited. So also it's a reminder that you need to take the time to go see loved ones or go see friends or go anyway, even if you don't know these people, and become friends with them, because they need community. Yeah. They need interaction. And it just, it just broke my heart to see it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, you become much more sensitive to the elderly and where they're coming from and that state of helplessness that they have. And when you're, and perhaps there are some of you, you volunteer in nursing homes, you've got loved ones in nursing homes. So you know what I'm talking about, but it can be a very sad experience if they don't have anybody who's really kind of looking in on them, or if it's just staff that, you know, are, and all staff are different, but if they're just kind of doing their jobs versus really loving on people.
That's why we busted her out of there and got her home.
You better believe it, man. We cannot wait.
Again, great people, but nobody takes care of you like your loved ones. And so we are one of the only countries that tend to push off our elderly into facilities. Why? We need to be taking care of our parents. I know not everyone can, but let's see how.
Then do everything you possibly can.
Because it's not just blessing them and helping them. You get blessed too. Oh my goodness. I just felt the Lord's presence while we were serving Carol in the way that we were serving her. And I'm talking serving and stuff that I don't do, but I did by God's grace and his strength. But man, it's a blessing in return when we're caring for others.
So true. In fact, my mind just shifted over to, I've got a little place down the road here. It's called Jerry's. It's a grocery store. It's got a Starbucks in it. It's just got a very comfortable environment that I go hang out and I kind of work from there and have my coffee and all that. But there's a whole bunch of seniors that populate that little area. And that's because just a couple blocks away is a senior citizens living facility. And, you know, at first, I'll just be really honorable. I mean, transparent and vulnerable.
Honorable? Not honorable. Your first thought.
Vulnerable and transparent. You know, it's good. First, you know, like a couple of years ago when this thing happened, it's like, man, Man, all these old people around here realizing, dude, you're old too. So shut up. So, but God has just given me a sensitive heart for those who are elderly, and they're being marginalized. They're being discounted as no longer having the same value to contribute to society, and that is so wrong,
It
so
is.
sad, so convicting, and so heartbreaking. Man, we need to honor the elderly as other cultures do, and we are so bad at it.
You step
And
up as a society and do that.
I'm often reminded in 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 2, where God says, "He who honors me, I will honor." And in some ways, Wendy, are sort of feeling that as we're going through this process, because our goal, and we talk and pray often about this, God, what do you want us to do for you as we serve mom? And it seems like he's honoring us. And then think about the commandment,
Yeah,
the second
honor.
commandment in some circles, the fifth commandment in other circles, but it's honor your father and your mother so that you may live a long life and it will go well for you. And I look at what happened with my dad, who served my grandma, and how well it went for him because he was honoring her. And I think about my mom and how she served her mom. And I think about me and my siblings. And some people say, oh, man, that's a lot of work. That's funny, these last years with both my dad and my mom, it's been, wait, no, it's really not work. It's not an inconvenience.
It's a joy.
It's a privilege. It's an honor. And we would look forward to going down there and spending our time doing whatever we could to honor and to serve. So,
And I must say, you guys lead by great example. I think that that was one of the reasons, one of the breakthroughs that even maybe those at the facility or even the hospital saw. And actually, several people mentioned it, that wow, I've never seen someone so loved and cared for. And that was just you guys, all of us, stepping up and being an example to show love and show compassion and show just honor. And wow, what if we all did that, not
well,
just for our parents, but man, to each other?
we're not lacking for opportunity.
No,
We're
no.
simply lacking the awareness. And we really have to ask God, would you just open up our eyes? Let me see, God, what you see. Let
Yeah.
me feel what you feel and hear what you hear. And I promise God will fly the doors open and you will have opportunity. All right. So I just want to kind of advance the story a little bit now.
Okay.
This is February 2024. And we have been able to extract mom from that wonderful nursing home.
We busted her out,
We
got
did.
her home, and
And
she was so excited. Oh,
yeah.
first of all, let me just tell y'all, I have to say
Yeah,
this.
yeah.
Okay. So at the facility, there was a med given to her that had her in a crazy train state. Like it was not her.
Well, let's first just mention that med is given often to people who are restless, having anxiety,
I
have
don't
some
care. I don't
issues.
like it. There's other
I
thing.
know, but
Yeah.
I'm saying for a lot of people, they have found it sort of calms them
And there's a
down.
lot of people it doesn't.
There's a few people that it jacks up, and mom was one of those few. She just like this thing fired her up, and really, we call it the cuckoo pill,
Yeah.
because
She
wow,
couldn't talk, she couldn't eat. She
upper
was like
circulation,
hallucinations. It was horrible for about 36 hours. And so but anyway, she got through that. We stopped. Got that med cleared out. But once we got her on the bus and got her home, oh my goodness, she just lit up and she had all this energy and she was so excited, like a little kid. I'm home.
Oh, you say get her on the bus. So
Well, like,
she's
okay, well, because she was
so
in a wheelchair.
it's a
So
private van that is a platform
it
that
wasn't the
accepts
short
wheelchairs.
bus or the,
It's
It's
private
just,
transportation. Okay.
yes.
So yes, got her home, and she did. She just lit up. It's just there's no place like
That's
home.
right.
One of the things that my siblings and I talked to mom about for years is that we would do everything we can to keep her home. That was her
That's
one
her wish.
request.
Yep.
Yeah. It's her little nest, she's always called it. So here's mom at home now. And we had previously ordered the hospice bed and the wheelchair
All
and
the
the eating
things.
tray and all the
Yeah.
stuff that goes with it, had it all set up really, really nice in front of the big picture window, which is where she loves to be in her chaise lounge thing, or her, what do we call that? The lounge chair, recliner. And she's looking around, and because we had said mom's going to look a little different,
We were a little nervous.
she said, "This is for me. This is the best day of my life."
Yeah, and she said, "This is heaven on earth." Yeah. That's what she said.
And she's always called it her heavenly haven.
Yeah, anyhow, but so. For her to take it so well and to be so grateful. Remember, at the beginning of this podcast, we were talking about how grateful this generation is. She's grateful, even in the midst of change and all. She knows what's coming. She's a smart woman. She gets it, and she's been ready for a long time. But for her to be grateful, it just shows us a lot too.
And so many lessons that you and I could expand on that you and I picked up from my mom, from this experience, walking through with loved ones as they journey home. So many great memories, even within the last couple of years, because my mom has been really looking forward to going to heaven.
Yeah.
So she's got a very deep, devout faith and has had for many, many years. She's been our prayer warrior, but she's very intimate with the Lord. And for the last couple of years, she's shifted to calling him Papa God.
Papa God.
Papa God.
Yeah.
And she literally can picture her hand just stroking Papa God's cheek, just softly. And
Sweet.
She'll do that
oftentimes.
I can't wait to see Papa God. And then she'll describe what happens when she enters heaven. And she says, first, I'll see my Lord Jesus. And he'll give me a big hug. And then right next to him,
I'll see my Eddie.
He'll be my Eddie. And the first thing he'll say, what took you so long? Which should be classic of my dad to actually say that.
Yeah, that's cute.
But having this awareness of where she's headed for the last couple of years and an eagerness to go to heaven has really helped me try to get a different perspective. I am not there yet. I'm clinging to life. I'll be honest. It's like, I'm not ready.
Lord. I think that's just so human of us.
Maybe.
Until we.
For me, I'm like, just. Like, I want to be like mom. I've got a brother, Brad, who's like that, too. I mean, they have a perspective about, look, this is okay, but why would we want to settle for this when what's ahead of us is just supreme bliss? It's perfection. It's joy. It's in the presence of the Lord and loved ones and great things that we can't even begin to imagine. It has planted a seed in me that's starting to grow, to begin to, this is hard, just continue to loosen my grip on this world and on this life.
Yeah.
And to look forward to heaven and to believe what's up there waiting is so far superior.
For sure. Because in this life, we will have trials.
Jesus didn't promise it. He just stated it. This is where the way it'll be. You're going to have trouble in this world, but take heart. I've overcome the world. So you're going to get through it.
Yeah.
And on the other side, what joy awaits.
Yeah. That's the breakthrough. That's the breakthrough right there.
There's one other thing I just have to share that I picked up because this. The thing with mom's gratitude has been just astounding.
Mm-hmm.
But also, early on, my mom has just kind of almost like made a vow, like, I just refuse to complain.
Right.
I'm not, and my mom is
sick. And she's in pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Arthritis for years and years. And she said, why should I have a pity party?
Yeah.
Nobody would come to it anyhow. And it won't do me any good. So she said, I'm just not going to complain. And
the pain that she's dealing with right now with this aggressive bone cancer is off the charts, and she's still not complaining. It's amazing. So we can learn from those around us, but, it's just been a precious time. And, I would say exhausting as well, but yet God has given us the strength, and it's been a joy. And so we just wanted to share what's been going on in our world and praying that if you have someone that's elderly, maybe it's your parents or someone that you know. I know that my mom cared for an elderly woman for like 7 years, and she just went home to be with heaven. But man, that bond that they had and the joy that she received from serving this woman, there's got to be someone in your tribe, in your church, in your family that you can serve. Mm-hmm. And I promise you will be blessed in return.
Yes. Such great joy.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us share. We appreciate you listening and watching, and we encourage you to take hold of his strength, take advantage of the opportunities that God brings before you to love on him by serving others.
Yeah, be blessed. We'll catch you next time right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.